Now on 960 The Patriot, it's the Middle East Radio Forum. Your chance to talk about the turmoil in the Middle East. Questions are welcome at radioforum at AOL.com. That's radioforum at AOL.com. Now your host for the Middle East Radio Forum, Meir Jolovitz.
Greetings. Thank you for joining us. Welcome to Middle East Radio Forum, the weekly program unafraid to tackle the issues of the day. Ours is the radio and internet broadcast which offers a bold and unapologetic view of Middle East affairs. Every Sunday in Middle East Radio Forum, we recognize and readily identify the struggle between the civilized and the savage, between conflicting ideologies and cultures, between Western values and those dedicated to upending them. Today we continue with the theme that underscores the subject of an ongoing analysis of the conflict in the Middle East. Today we continue to examine how it is that the anti-Israel narrative has such support almost everywhere, while the Palestinian Arabs, who direct their venom and their terror at Israel, continue to find favor even throughout the Western world. And yet, as we often complain, where is the outrage? While so many others have displayed an anorexic appetite for the truth, we at Middle East Radio Forum dare to speak that truth, regardless of whom we upset or offend. This week, we address the subject, exposing the transparent hypocrisy of the Biden administration's lip service in defense of Israel while it symbiotically supports Israel's Muslims' enemies. It's a theme that we've explored before when we suggested that we need to stop expecting justice or logic. After all, when it comes to Israel and the Middle East, the facts seemingly don't matter. Today, we continue to offer a series of examples that demonstrate that the fundamental nature of the Muslim war against Israel has been fraudulently transformed in an Orwellian inversion of the truth. On too many broadcasts to count, we've argued that there exists no other conflict in the world that offers a more conspicuous right versus wrong than the Middle East conflict. And yet, the simple truth has been sacrificed on the altar of an anti-Israel and anti-Semitic deception. Post-October 7th, we expected reasonable people, those for whom critical thinking still matters, to understand that the very notion of a future peace is some foolish fantasy. Any peace between Israel and the duplicitous Palestinian Arabs with a cunningly bogus national identity is as fraudulent as the suggestion that there exists an actual peace partner, one that recognizes Israel's right to exist. There is not. Only the numb or the dumb fail to recognize the obvious. Instead, Israel's enemies have mastered the advice proffered by Niccolo Machiavelli in The Prince, written in 1513 and first published in 1532, when he stated, "Never attempt to win by force what can be won by deception." That deception is everywhere. It thrives throughout the media, in academia, and certainly throughout the Western world. And yes, it actually lives large as part of the Biden-Blinken foreign policy. Let's face it, if you possess any intellectual integrity and a little sense of history, you know this much. The Arab-Israeli conflict is mislabeled. It is the Arab war against Israel. It is the Muslim war against the Jews. It is certainly not the deceitfully labeled Israel-Palestinian conflict. The imbecilic thinking that has taken flight after October 7th is now everywhere. It is founded on a thinly veiled deception, taking the form of a transparent neglect of historical facts in defiance of any moral standing. Israel's adversaries have this much in common with this phony so-called friend of Israel that the Biden administration pretends to be. The former deceitfully pretend, and the latter sadly believe, that a peaceful compromise can be negotiated through diplomacy, a Blinken-Biden-driven insanity. We've heard this deception for over a generation. Let's give diplomacy a chance. It was Will Rogers who nailed it 100 years ago when he said, "Diplomacy is the art of saying nice doggy until you find that rock." For the Palestinian Arabs and a growing segment of the Western world, diplomacy is that rock to be used against Israel. Post October 7th, there is extant a war that rages against Israel, met with an indifference that lives in concert with the anti-Semitic agenda. It's a war even beyond the atrocities of October 7th. It is an ideological war. Let's be straightforward. Israel's enemies are winning this war of ideas because the facts and the truth really don't seem to matter. My name is Meir Jalovitz. I'm pleased to co-host the show with William Wolf. Today is April 21st, 2024. This program can be heard live anywhere in the world on our website, www.MiddleEastRadioForum.com or at www.960thepatriot.com. And a reminder, in Arizona, our show is rebroadcast on Saturday night at 9 p.m. And we move on. Before we continue with the deep analysis of the Biden administration's betrayal of Israel, we begin, as we do each week, with Yoni Tidi, who offers comments on topical matters as they relate to Israel, its enemies, both near and far. Yoni, always good to have you join us.
Mayor, if I don't talk to you before the holiday, Chag Sameach. And the Biden administration is truly our enemy.
Thank you.
The king is naked, and it's not a pretty sight. Last Thursday, Israel hit air defense systems in Isfahan, Iran, using for the first time new technology. Then nothing. We showed the world our new technology, which was a multi-stage missile for air-to-ground operations. Israeli planes, from what I've been told, did not even enter Iranian airspace. The missiles were not detected by state-of-the-art Russian air defense units in Iran. I saw an interview with a man that headed up the R&D on this new technology, and he said many nations are calling, wanting to buy the new missiles. So was this strike on Iran a marketing campaign or a legitimate strike? I'm going to say that since we didn't follow up the strikes on the air defense with hitting the nuclear facility that's right there, I'm inclined to say it was a marketing scheme. Ben-Gvir, the Minister of Internal Security, tweeted that our response to the Iranian attack on Israel was truly lame. And it was very, very lame, especially in light of the green light that the White House gave Iran to hit Israel. According to the Wall Street Journal, the Biden administration was in shock at the size of the Iranian attack on Israel. Well, that just proves what idiots are in this administration. Speaking of idiots in the administration, Blinko the Capo, if we were black, we'd call him an Uncle Tom, but since we're Jews, we're going to call him what he is, a capo. He is now going to put an infantry unit in the IDF under sanctions because they weren't nice to terrorists. Minister Benny Gantz, who, let me remind you, came to the States in, I think it was December, to get the marching orders of how to get rid of Netanyahu. Gantz is a former defense minister and IDF chief of staff. He wrote, and I quote, "The Netzah Yehuda Battalion is an inseparable part of the Israeli Defense Forces. It is subject to military law and is responsible for operating in full compliance with international law. The State of Israel has a strong, independent judicial system that evaluates meticulously any claims of violation or deviation from IDF orders or code of conduct, and will continue to do so. I have great appreciation for our American friends, but the decision to impose sanctions on an IDF unit and its soldiers sets a dangerous precedent and conveys the wrong message to our shared enemies during wartime. Well, I'm a dual citizen, and at the risk of having my bank account frozen, I will tell Blinken and poop in his pants Biden to go to hell. One of you is a quisling, and the other one is a brain-dead idiot that never was anything worth voting for in your whole life. The U.S. and the world cannot afford four more days, much less four more years of these evil people. That they gave the go-ahead for Iran to strike us, that should warn people. Blood was shed on a campus this week in America, Saturday night at Yale. A Jewish student was stabbed in the eye by a Marxist terrorist. I have always wondered when I was growing up, if the Jews in Germany took to the streets and battled the Nazis in the early 1930s, if things would have turned out differently. What I will promise is that with the response of the American Jewish community to the Marxist terrorist garbage on the campuses and in the streets of America, history will repeat itself. that after the creation of the state of Israel, that Jews are weak and cowardly anywhere on the planet means never again is a cruel joke. We need to hit the nuclear facilities of Iran. We need to give new rules of engagement to the IDF and wipe out the evil that's in Gaza. And many of those evil don't even call themselves Hamas. They're called civilians.
Yeah, that's certainly true. Actually, Israel needs to practice on the oil fields and then hit the nuclear installations. Yoni, once again, thank you so much. Until next week, same time, same station. Thank you.
Take care.
If you count yourself as an advocate of a strong and secure Israel, you need to understand and admit one thing. The most dangerous thing that has happened to Israel was not the Hamas attack of October 7th. And yes, of course, the atrocities which were part of that massacre were the worst tragedy in Israel's modern history. But what has followed is the most perilous thing of all. The call, in fact, the demand by the United States government and other Western nations that Israel surrender its objection and its resistance to the establishment of a two-state solution. Arab terrorism has prevailed. Israel's fraudulent friends, and they certainly are fraudulent, have decided to save Israel despite herself. As former U.S. Undersecretary of State George Ball coined the expression in 1977, imagine, post-October 7th, a Palestinian Arab state, a terror state, on Israel's border, both east and south, a Palestinian state connecting Judea and Samaria, otherwise known as the West Bank, and Gaza, a border many times larger and infinitely more difficult to defend than the southern border with Gaza. This expectation by the United States government, or more accurately, the Biden-Blinken Middle East policy, is a knife in the back of Israel. It is a betrayal of the Jewish nation in order to placate the bloody appetite of Arab savages. A well-intentioned idiot, willfully blind, refuse to understand that the Biden administration is not Israel's friend. Instead, these useful idiots who will vote for the Democrats by a majority on November 5th will wait for future historians to point out how utterly blind, stupid, and compliant they were with a call to truncate and endanger the Jewish state. The demand for a Palestinian state is much more insidious than the tragedy of October 7th. Allow me this comment about leadership, about failed leadership. At the end of the Civil War, at the age of 23, George Custer was promoted to Major General, thus making him, at the time, the youngest general. After the Civil War, Custer spent military duties in the South before being appointed Lieutenant Colonel, again, his normal position, and placed in charge of the newly formed 7th U.S. Cavalry. I want to recall two quotes that are attributed to George Custer. General George Armstrong Custer, famous for Custer's last stand, graduated last in his class at West Point in 1861. We know him because he fought and died in the Battle of Little Bighorn in 1876. We remember him also because he was depicted quite heroically by Errol Flynn in the 1941 movie, They Died With Their Boots On. Now here's the first quote, an arrogant comment of confidence attributed to Custer. This is what he said. There are not enough Indians in the world to defeat the 7th Cavalry. A second, more humorous quote that made the rounds was this. When surrounded completely by the Indians, Custer barked out, "Good news, man. Whatever direction we shoot, we're bound to hit someone." The moral of that story? In life and in battle, we often confront a confused portrayal of the situation. This is also a comment about the failed leadership and the inability to recognize an impending disaster. It happened to Israel on October 7th. Its military high command and its intelligence failed. So yes, we learned this, that quite often, in fact too often, we're being led by incompetent fools And yet we trust these fools to continue to lead. We need to wake up to the reality. Israel is surrounded by enemies, and it doesn't have any friends. Truly remarkable. A quick shout out. Tomorrow evening marks the beginning of the Passover holiday, as Yoni had referenced. It'll be certainly this year a less joyous Passover than in recent memory. For those held hostage in Gaza and their families, it'll be a disastrous reminder that the Jewish people will not be free until it eliminates its enemies. For the families of those intrepid soldiers, too many, who've already given their lives, it'll be a tragic reminder of the price that we pay simply to live as free people. But let's understand fully that we will not be free until Israel ignores the dictates of the many pharaohs everywhere. And yes, everywhere. In the United Nations, the European Union, and at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. They are a plague that threatens the state of Israel. And they too, like so many before them, will be relegated to the dustbin of history. It certainly can't happen soon enough. We have a commercial break. When we come back, we're going to get into details, looking at some of the news stories, and do a quick commentary or analysis, proving once again that anyone who thinks that the Biden administration is friend rather than foe needs to have their heads reexamined. Commercial break. We'll be right back.
The authentic Ethiopian restaurant located at 1740 East McDowell in Phoenix is a great change of pace from your ordinary restaurant. Authentic Ethiopian flavors in a comfortable setting will keep you coming back for more. Vegetarian and meat selections will satisfy everyone in your family. You just have to try it for yourself. That's Authentic Ethiopian Restaurant, 1740 East McDowell, telephone 602-252-2286. At Precision Integrative Pain, they have a team of highly qualified, licensed providers and staff. Their board-certified physicians and healthcare providers offer same-day appointments when possible and work closely with attorneys and other medical specialists. Dr. Drew Hunter is a highly skilled, double board-certified medical physician who takes his time to offer premium care to his patients. Bilingual services are available. Call 602-688-6884 or visit their website, PIC-AZ.com.
Dassault and Macros are my business and personal CPAs for a good reason. Prompt and accurate work means I trust them with all my accounting needs. Conveniently located just off the 51 freeway at 3519 East Shea Boulevard, Suite 122, give them a call and see what they can do for you. 602-996-8885. That's Dassault and Macros, 602-996-8885.
Cherry Blossom Noodle Cafe has terrific sushi, salads, rice and noodle dishes, soup, and even great pasta. On the northwest corner of 10th Street and Camelback, it will become your favorite Asian restaurant. A loyal sponsor of Middle East Radio Forum for more than 10 years, it is simply the best place for a great Asian lunch or dinner. That's Cherry Blossom Noodle Cafe on the northwest corner of 10th Street and Camelback. Tell them that William Wolf sent you there. Telephone 602-248-9090.
Watermark Wealth Strategies and Watermark Wealth Planning Offices at 11333 North Scottsdale Road has been a loyal sponsor of this program since its start. They specialize in wealth retention, estate planning, and legacy planning. Watermark has been a leader in the Valley, and its members have been together for over 20 years. Founding partner Carmen Saccone has over 40 years of experience in tax, investment, and estate planning issues affecting retirees and their assets. They offer comprehensive planning that has helped assist families through the process of identifying client objectives and concerns and constructing a strategic plan to address tax, risk, and legacy issues. Consultations are complimentary, and we encourage you to contact Allison Porter at 480-442-3989 to schedule. Securities and advisory services are offered through the LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor. Member FINRA/SIPC.
You're listening to Middle East Radio Forum on 960 The Patriot. Questions are welcome at radioforum@AOL.com. That's radioforum@AOL.com. Now your host for the Middle East Radio Forum, Meir Jolovitz.
Hi, thank you. Welcome back. By the way, just about an hour ago, and I was pulling into the neighborhood, coming to the studio here to do the radio show. About a block away, there were a couple of Arab Nazis waving an enormous Palestinian flag. Arab Nazis, indeed. It's remarkable that the territories, both Gaza and the West Bank, Judea and Samaria, for 19 years, between 1948 and 1967, were under Arab occupation. Gaza by Egypt and the West Bank, Judea and Samaria by Jordan. Was there ever an attempt to establish a Palestinian state then? Of course not. These are Nazis taking advantage of the situation, knowing that they've found a compatible voice in the White House. Anyhow, as we occasionally do, I want to offer a short soundbite that is relevant to much of what we discuss in this program. It's a comment made by Mossab Hassan Youssef, the name that you might recognize. He's known also as the son of Hamas, also occasionally as the Green Prince. Youssef is the son of one of the co-founders of Hamas, Sheikh Hassan Youssef. Youssef, the son, spent time in an Israeli prison for participating in terrorism against Jews a number of years ago. He later defected to the Israeli side, where he found his conscience being at odds with the Palestinian indoctrination to murder. Youssef, when confronted with the barbaric nature of the activities of his co-religionists, decided to switch sides. During the past many years, he's made countless appearances through lectures and frequent television appearances where he speaks of the single-minded Hamas goal of killing Jews everywhere. Today, he lives in the United States and is a much-needed voice of someone who was once a terrorist insider. It should be noted also that he converted to Christianity a number of years ago in 1999, a fact that he kept hidden for several years for fear of the obvious threats of persecution to his family still living in Ramallah. Remarkably, a large number of liberal media sites will not today invite him because of his outspoken views in defense of Israel. But we will. So I want you to listen to this 3.5-minute soundbite right now.
Before this wall, my memory as a child, my father and I were able to drive our car from the town of Ramallah all the way to Yafo, to Tel Aviv, to the beach, to the zoo, pretty much every weekend. And nobody harassed us. We were able to just shop. We were able to enjoy the beach. This is my early memory as a child. There was not even one checkpoint. Things start changing immediately after the beginning of the first Palestinian Intifada. It started with the chant, "From the river to the sea." Very romantic. Soon later, it became stabbing. Shortly later, it became mass shooting. Within no time, it became suicide bombing attacks. What a democracy should do in a situation when they are not able to stop the people, an entire society. I don't want to say complicit, but the Palestinians praised suicide bombers as martyrs, as heroes of the nation. Look at my case. When I opposed that, I said, no, it's not good. It's bad. It's very bad to kill people indiscriminately. You know, Hamas did not kill people only on October 7th. Hamas has a long history of suicide bombing attacks. They blow up universities, schools, buses, markets, beaches. They targeted everywhere. So Israel had to take some security measures. And again, even in the best democracy, when you are under consistent threat, there are exceptions. And some of the civil laws could be actually replaced with some emergency laws. Even the United States did this during the war against terrorism. So when you are under consistent threat, it's very different. But somebody can sit in comfort and say, hey, how about we take some of the Western values, the democratic values, and say, oh, look at Israel. They claim to be a democracy, but look how they're treating the Palestinians. Well, terrorists in prison, have they earned equal rights to decent citizens in civilization who know their responsibility and their obligation towards the other, who don't harm the others? Of course not. So sometimes when we are dealing with emergency situation, we cannot say and force the people in the Middle East to just act according our values. We sit here in the United States, we don't have suicide bombing attacks, we don't have missile attacks, we don't have infiltration on a regular basis. So we cannot take our values and force Israel to do the same while they are under war. We cannot force Israel to send and risk the lives of thousands of foot soldiers in order for us to reduce or minimize the civilian casualty, which Israel is already doing. But who are we to force Israel how to do the job?
Wow. No need to add a full commentary here. He was certainly quite clear who the savages are and who are the victims of their savagery. It's remarkable. You know what the big difference is? Is Musab Hassan Yusuf has read the Quran. He lived the Quran. Anthony Blinken never has and doesn't understand that mind. It's tragic. Here it is, a fellow whose father was one of the co-founders of Hamas, saying that Israel would commit suicide if it went for a two-state solution, and the American administration, which pretends to be pro-Israel, calling for Israel to do as much. It's been several years now in Middle East Radio Forum that we've spoken about this greatest danger facing Israel. The delusional expectation of a two-state solution makes any sense. We always understood why Israel's enemies and adversaries would speak of it as a first step, of course, to the destruction of Israel. But we found unfathomable that anyone who fashioned themselves as a friend of Israel would not understand the folly and the insanity of any such proposal. Imagine rewarding Arab terrorism with a state of their own on Israel's borders, both east and south, a terrorist state after Israel is reduced to truncated areas, carved away from Israel's security borders, following territorial surrenders by Israel, as demanded by the Blinken-Biden administration. Underscoring all of our broadcasts, we've warned of the danger of the gullibility of falling prey to an ongoing insanity of a proposed two-state delusion, a surrender to Arab terror that is being promoted by the White House after October 7th, even more than before. And certainly no advocate of Israel as the lone Jewish state which has a right to exist could ever agree with such madness. And yet, that is exactly what's happening. These ignoramuses are actually pushing for a Palestinian state while rockets are still being launched into Israel. And Israel, surrendering to a great degree to this Blinken-Biden foreign policy, is actually demonstrating restraint instead of an all-out assault against Hamas. Israel needs to stand up and resist the United States government's pressure to end the war against the savage. Absent that, we're doomed to repeat mistakes that brought on several successive mini-wars with Hamas in Gaza in 2008, 2012, 2014, and 2021. Each which ended with a ceasefire. Each which allowed the enemy to arm, rearm, and once again launch attacks against Israel. Critical thinking, my friends, means understanding that doing the politically expedient thing is not necessarily the same thing as doing the morally right thing. Israel has too often been a victim of pressures placed upon it by its so-called friends. Israel must resist, and it must destroy the enemy, especially on this eve of Passover. We'll be right back.
Fire in the sky.
This is your host at Middle East Radio Forum, William Wolf. You need to know about Lucky Rentals and Peachtree Partners Arizona. If you need to buy a used car and need financing, call them at 800-832-2557. That's Lucky Rentals and Peachtree Partners Arizona. If you need to buy a used car and need financing, call them at 800-832-2557. That's 800-832-2557.
Tokyo Express, next to Cherry Blossom Noodle Cafe on the northwest corner of 10th Street and Camelback, has been serving great food since 1982. A fast food Japanese restaurant at a reasonable price. Take out or sit in and enjoy. Either way, you'll be back for more. That's Tokyo Express on the northwest corner of 10th Street and Camelback in Phoenix. Telephone 602-277-4666. Watermark Wealth Strategies and Watermark Wealth Planning Offices at 11333 North Scottsdale Road has been a loyal sponsor of this program since its start. They specialize in wealth retention, estate planning, and legacy planning. Watermark has been a leader in the Valley, and its members have been together for over 20 years. Founding partner Carmen Saccone has over 40 years of experience in tax, investment, and estate planning issues affecting retirees and their assets. They offer comprehensive planning that has helped assist families through the process of identifying client objectives and concerns and constructing a strategic plan to address tax, risk, and legacy issues. Consultations are complimentary, and we encourage you to contact Allison Porter at 480-442-3989 to schedule. Securities and advisory services are offered through the LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor, member FINRA/SIPC. Gilligan's on Maryland, on the northwest corner of 7th Street in Maryland, is much more than just a great Shell station and mini mart. Great cook-to-order food, different flavors of coffee and tea, beer and fine wine, including kosher wine, round out a wonderful one-stop shopping experience. A loyal sponsor of Middle East Radio Forum, check them out in the northwest corner of 7th Street in Maryland in Phoenix. That's Gilligan's on Maryland. Phone number 602-277-6269.
I am William Wolf, creator of Middle East Radio Forum and an injury attorney in practice since 1971. I was awarded the high honor of Trial Attorney of the Year by the Arizona Trial Lawyers Association. I only advertise on the show where you can get to know me and my values. My office is at 7301 North 16th Street, Suite 203 in Phoenix. Please give me a call if you have need for an injury attorney at 602-279-1914.
You're listening to Middle East Radio Forum on 960 The Patriot. Questions are welcome at radioforum@AOL.com. That's radioforum@AOL.com. Now your host for the Middle East Radio Forum, Mayor Jolovitz.
Hi, thank you for joining us. I want to make reference to an op-ed that I had published this week in Israel and in the United States. And it talks about this nonsensical argument that every single correspondent, every single pundit who speaks and opines about the Middle East gets wrong. They're talking about the fact that the Biden administration seemingly has turned on Israel because the Biden administration is interested in getting the Muslim vote in Michigan, as well as Minnesota, but they've focused on Michigan. It is such a fraudulent argument, and it needs to be exposed. I did, and no one else seems to understand the obvious. They play along. They're willfully blind. Let me state a few facts. The state of Michigan has 16 electoral votes. It is considered, therefore, one of the most important battleground states in choosing the president of the United States. In the 2020 presidential election, Joe Biden had 2.8 million votes. It was 50.6% of the votes cast. Donald Trump had 2.65 million votes, which came to 47.8% of the votes cast in Michigan. The margin was 154,000 votes. And this, mind you, while in the background, there were nearly 85,000 votes that went to third parties. So let me play this out for you. There are 200,000 registered Muslim voters in Michigan today. There are 300,000, by the way, whose ancestry is either Middle Eastern or North Africa. Therefore, the Democrats consider Michigan absolutely pivotal to victory in 2024 and have bent over backwards to please the Muslim vote at the expense, of course, of Israel. Let's play this game out and you'll see how foolish this is. It's November 5th, 2024. Election day. You're a progressive Democrat, angry at Joe Biden. You are a Muslim, angry at Joe Biden. You hate Israel. You support Gaza. Who do you vote for? So let's look at the ballot. You've got Donald Trump. Well, you can't vote for Donald Trump. It'll mean Donald Trump wins. The next choice is Joe Biden. Well, you don't want to vote for Joe Biden. You pretend, because he hasn't been anti-Israel enough for you. So you look at the rest of the ballot. Robert Kennedy Jr. Well, if you vote for him, well, Donald Trump is going to win. If you vote for the next name on the list, Cornel West, oh, Donald Trump's going to win. If you vote for Jill Stein, oh, Donald Trump wins again. What's your other option? A write-in or not to vote at all? If you write in or don't vote at all, who's going to win? Donald Trump. Therefore, logic dictates that you can only vote for one name on that ballot. You're an Arab American. You hate everything about Israel. Who do you vote for? You vote for Joe Biden. Your empty threat that we're going to withhold our vote unless you take a more vigorous anti-Israel posture is a lie. I'm telling you right now, in the week prior to November 5th, Arab Americans in Dearborn, Michigan, and the rest of the state are going to rally. They're going to collect as many people as they can and tell them to vote. They tell them to vote for whom? Of course, for Joe Biden. So let's put away this nonsensical discussion that we see on the TV all the time about the Arabs in Michigan are threatening. No, they're not. They're going to vote for him in great numbers. Some are going to vote two and three times. Now, someone needs to speak the truth, the hard truth. The traditional supporters of the Democratic Party have given way, truly an unconditional surrender, to the hardcore progressives that now define the party. For two terms, for 8 years, the Obama-Biden administration gave us a taste of what's to come. But few imagine they could be this bad. The political machine that drives the discussion and which sets the political agenda has fully deserted the only democracy in the Middle East. To be sure, the Democrats will be judged by future generations as those who've surrendered to willful negligence at best and to fascist totalitarianism of the left at worst. The path to peace will not come from the euphemisms that the Biden-Blinken doctrine uses to shroud its real platform. It'll not be realized by vilifying Israel and glorifying the assault against it. By every measure, the Democrats have failed miserably in an arena that will soon be threatened with an Iranian nuclear capability, while Obama and Biden will be recognized as the significant architects of that endeavor. They, along with John Kerry, Robert Malley, and Anthony Blinken. While it seems imperative only a few years ago, the true advocates of a safe and secure Israel continue to speak the truth, enough to convince a significant enough segment of the voting population, a few percentage points, mind you, the Democratic train is fast approaching an unavoidable precipice. Today, it appears too late. Today, with the Biden administration financing the Islamic Republic of Iran on the one front and demanding the creation of a Palestinian Arab state to be a client of Iran on the other, Israel must come to terms with the fact that it stands alone. And it must act accordingly. It must ignore the dictates of the Biden administration that has become Israel's enemy. Yes, its enemy. And it must be unafraid to say as much. In the movie Wall Street, Gordon Gekko barks out, "I'll make you a deal. You stop telling lies about me, and I'll stop telling the truth about you." Well, given the unyielding assault in Israel, fraught with its many euphemisms from the duplicitous Biden camp, all these that hide under the mantle of progressivism, it behooves proponents of Israel to continue to tell the truth and damn its detractors. Commercial break.
If you need heart surgery, do you choose your surgeon from an ad on TV or a billboard? Of course not. Choosing your accident attorney also should not be done so casually and without thought. I'm William Wolf, creator of Middle East Radio Forum and an injury attorney in practice since 1971. I was awarded the high honor of Trial Attorney of the Year by the Arizona Trial Lawyers Association. I only advertise on this show where you can get to know me and my values. My office is at 7301 North 16th Street, Suite 203 in Phoenix. Please give me a call if you have need for an injury attorney at 602-279-1914. No charge for our first meeting, and I take all claims on a contingent fee basis. Call 602-279-1914. That's 602-279-1914. I look forward to meeting you and working to achieve the best possible results for your injury claim.
Shuttleman Physical Medicine, Chiropractic, and Acupuncture is your go-to medical office in the West Valley. Call 623-214-7600. That's 623-214-7600. With two offices to serve you, there is no reason to stay in pain when Dr. Scheidelman may be able to help you. Call 623-214-7600 for Scheidelman Physical Medicine, Chiropractic, and Acupuncture.
Gilligan's on Maryland, on the northwest corner of 7th Street and Maryland, is much more than just a great Shell station and mini mart. Great cook-to-order food, different flavors of coffee and tea, beer and fine wine, including kosher wine, round out a wonderful one-stop shopping experience. A loyal sponsor of Middle East Radio Forum, check them out in the northwest corner of 7th Street and Maryland in Phoenix. That's Gilligan's on Maryland. Phone number 602-277-6269.
Thanks for listening to Middle East Radio Forum. I am your host and creator of the show, Attorney William Wolf. I was awarded the high honor of Trial Attorney of the Year by the Arizona Trial Lawyers Association and have been in practice since 1971. I handle injury and wrongful death claims and do go to court if necessary to achieve the best possible results for all my clients. It is often impossible to achieve full value if your attorney does not have the reputation of being willing to go to court on all matters. The high-volume, impersonal TV and billboard attorneys do not have that reputation. The insurance companies know who is willing to work for full value and adjust their settlement offers accordingly. My office is at 7301 North 16th Street, Suite 203 in Phoenix. My phone is 602-279-1914. I take all claims on a contingent fee basis. Call 602-279-1914. I look forward to meeting you.
You're listening to Middle East Radio Forum on 960 The Patriot. Questions are welcome at radioforum at AOL.com. That's radioforum at AOL.com. Now your host for the Middle East Radio Forum, Mayor Jolovitz.
Hi, thanks for joining us. You know, time is such a precious commodity. I sit here in the studio with quite a number of different stories from Israel, news stories, which I try to report and then offer some kind of either analysis or commentary. And I'm going to switch a little to a story that just came across this morning. It's one that just needs to be addressed because it shows the insanity of the morality of the Western world. Here's the story as it came across this morning. Headline: Israel Medical Association says doctors must treat Hamas terrorists. The subtitle here is, in a letter to physicians, the IMA clarified that doctors must treat all people regardless of the severity of their acts. I'm going to read you something, and I'm going to comment. The Israeli Medical Association published a letter on Sunday, that's today, in which it calls on all doctors to tend to Hamas terrorists, even if they murdered Jews on October 7th. And I'm quoting from the letter now. Caring for every person, including Hamas terrorists, is required and is even one of our obligations as physicians. The rules of ethics, international treaties and declarations, and even Israeli law demand that a physician tends to every individual, no matter who they are. Now, the letter was sent to administrators after demonstrations were held at several hospitals against the medical care that some of the terrorists of October 7th, who'd participated in the massacre of Jews. Here's a quote. The Israeli Medical Association Ethic Code calls to continued medical care during an armed conflict regardless of the patient's identity. The only consideration that stands before the physician is the medical condition of the patient. Therefore, despite the horrific acts of the Hamas terrorists, we as physicians will give the proper care and will let the judicial system bring them to justice. So wrote the head of the association's ethics office, Dr. Yossi Walfish. My comment. This is insane. Wishing to show that it is a moral nation, I argue that it's exactly the opposite. This is the essence of immorality. Yahweh Sinwar, who orchestrated the massacre of 1,200 Jews on October 7th, the rape, the mutilation, the burning of innocent elderly women and children, he himself was saved, as we know, by Israeli doctors. I'll remind you, Sinwar, head of Hamas in Gaza, survived a brain tumor. Thanks to the operation Israeli doctors carried out when Sinwar was serving multiple life sentences for the kidnapping and brutal murder of two Israeli soldiers in 1988. The result? Israeli doctors saved his life. This Arab Nazi, who was already known and proudly carried the name the Butcher of Khan Yunus, he was saved. He was later released in a hostage exchange. One hostage, Gilad Shalit, for 1,027. And then he destroyed 1,200 other lives. This is the very essence of immorality. Do we need to be reminded of that Jewish midrash? He who is merciful to the cruel will one day become cruel to the merciful. Insanity. Insanity. I've spoken about this before. Those of you in the listening audience who've been with us for some time will recall that in past years, I would occasionally direct you to that internet website, thereligionofpeace.com. Thereligionofpeace.com self-describes itself as, quote, a non-political, fact-based site which examines the ideological threat that Islam poses to human dignity and freedom. Now, we all know what people mean when they use that expression, the religion of peace. It references Islam. It is sarcasm at its best. It is a perversion of what peace really is. So let me again reference this website, thereligionofpeace.com, something that I do at least once a week. Simply stated, it's the most comprehensive list of acts of terrorism anywhere, everywhere, listing the number of deadly Islamic terrorist attacks that have been recorded since 9/11. It lists the dates, the countries, the number killed, injured, and with a description of each. The numbers are mind-blowing. Since 9/11, the number of deadly terror attacks committed by Islamists is over 45,000. In fact, when I previously checked the site just a week ago, the number was 100 less than it was this morning. Yes, Islamic terrorism never rests, and that number, like the U.S. debt, keeps climbing. Remember also that despite the fact that Islam targets Jews everywhere in the world, and in many cases Christians, Hindus, and Buddhists as well, Muslims have a rich history of killing other Muslims as well. In fact, let's give it a number, 11 million since the year 1950. So let me say it again that it might sink in. 11 million Muslims have been killed by Muslims. Now, as perverse as it might seem, the savagery is a mark of pride throughout the Islamic world. And yet, despite this thorough documentation and the undeniable nature of its barbarism, the Western world turns a blind eye. Worse, the Western world not only appeases this religion of peace, it actually cooperates with it. It reminds us of the quote attributed to Winston Churchill. An appeaser is one who feeds a crocodile, hoping it'll eat him last. And it describes quite accurately the Biden administration. Imagine Palestinian Arabs butcher innocent civilians, and the Blinken-Biden plan calls to reward these savages with a state of their own on the eastern and southern borders of the nation that they're dedicated to destroying still. This is your religion of peace, and this is the insanity that is the Biden doctrine. The savage and the ignoramus. I've mentioned before that brilliant scholar, Dr. Robert Schaffner, professor emeritus of Michelin University, founder of the Council of Objective Policy, a longstanding reputation exposing the Western world's capitulation to the very forces which, if successful, would endanger, lay sabotage to everything that is Western civilization. And on Middle East Radio Forum, the obvious accusatory finger is rightly pointed at Islam in general and the Jihadi Leftist Alliance in particular. The pathological and psychotic disorder seems ever more endemic to progressive policies, which are anything but progressive. There is a war going on, dear listeners, and it's a war that we are losing. Wow, where do I take it now? Let me just mention something about the two-state solution. There's a trap. It's a strategic trap. I've referenced it before. I will again, because this is what underscores everything that's happening. The Blinken-Biden anti-Israel, pro-Palestinian position is based on a transparent fallacy that Israel has failed to challenge, and Israel needs to be blamed. It needs to negate this fallacy. If Hamas is the only element in Gaza which is anti-peace, suggesting, of course, that the Palestinian civilians are not in concert with it, if Hamas, in fact, does not represent the Palestinian people who, we're told, fraudulently want peace, then one would draw the very obvious conclusion. Defeating or destroying Hamas removes the obstacles that would prevent peace. Therefore, with Hamas removed, Israel has no longer an excuse to oppose resisting a two-state solution. This is a dangerous distortion of reality. The Palestinian people do not. Oh, I'm sorry. I was reading the cliff notes from the Biden administration. Let me go to the truth. The Palestinian people do support Hamas. They always have. They still do, by an overwhelming majority. Denying this is a lie. Every poll that's been taken by every Palestinian research organization of Palestinians post-October 7th show tremendous support for the atrocities committed by Hamas. Not one exception. And yet, the Blinken-Biden formula, and supported by Europe and most Jewish organizations, tragically in the United States, is that the only solution to peace in the Middle East is the establishment of a Palestinian state. To unite Gaza and the West Bank, Judea and Samaria, rewarding the Palestinian Authority, the purveyors of Arab terrorism, the architects of a pay-for-slay policy, and establish Palestine on Israel's borders, both east and south. This is a pathological mental disorder. It is rewarding terrorism at the expense of its victims. Support of this insanity is to be anti-Israel, anti-Semitic as well. Whether you recognize it or not, you cannot support an Arab terror state on Israel's border, a nation which they themselves, the Arabs, have said will be Judenrein, free of Jews, ethnic cleansing, whose entire social media today, every day, every week, calls for Israel's demise, and pretend that you're supporting Israel. It was Eric Hoffer who said, and you've heard me mention him before, we lie the loudest when we lie to ourselves. Israel, as you know, has offered peace many times in the past, and the Arabs always reject. And the Israeli leaders, foolishly, and all those proponents of a strong Israel, those American Jewish organizations say, we don't understand the Arabs. Israel has offered them basically all the occupied territories, and the Arabs still don't want to establish a peace with Israel. So let me explain it to you in terms that cannot be misunderstood. The Israelis cannot understand why the Palestinians have three times rejected offers by Israel of over 95% of the occupied territories, quotations. The reason is quite simple. The Israelis refuse to understand that the Palestinians view the occupation of all of Israel. Therefore, when Israel says that it's offering them the West Bank and they've already given up Gaza, they're only offering what the Palestinians say is 19% of what is occupied. For the Arabs, all of Israel is occupied and not just the so-called territories taken in 1967 in the war. Unless you understand that, and it's readily available to be understood, the Arabs talk about it all the time, you'll not understand why the Arabs are saying no to what others say is a generous, peaceful offer of Israel withdrawing from territories they took in a defensive war in 1967. And, of course, the smarter among you will say, well, why was there a war in 1967 if Israel didn't occupy the territories then? Why was there no peace, in 1966? Because the Arabs don't recognize Israel's right to exist. And I've said this before, and I will say it also again. Most Middle East experts, you've often heard me refer to them as so-called experts. Most Middle East experts are experts in the same way that Waffle House is seen as a gourmet restaurant. They and it are not. Bottom line, remember, the Palestinians are more driven by the need to eradicate Israel than they are about establishing a state of their own, a state of Palestine. If you don't understand that, pick up another hobby, go golfing. The Palestinians are more driven by the need to eradicate Israel than they are about establishing a state of Palestine. And they prove it every single time. Look at the clock. We're getting to the end of the show. And once again, I've got to conclude with so much yet left to be said. What have we learned? We've learned that we live in a world where facts don't seem to matter. Certainly not when it comes to telling the truth about Israel. And that so many of Israel's so-called friends are too numb and dumb to know the difference. We live in a world that George Orwell warned us about, a generation of unteachables. What a phenomenal phrase. A generation of unteachables. Next Sunday, which is April 28th, attorney William Wolf will interview Ken Timmerman, who will discuss the newest political and military realities that have brought us to the fore, that have brought to the fore the role of the Biden foreign policy that has emboldened the Islamic Republic of Iran. That's next Sunday on Middle East Radio Forum. Certainly a show you don't want to miss. As we conclude, we remind the audience that if the truth is told, the maddening illusion that peace is somehow possible with those who seek your destruction is governed by an insane and misbegotten suspension of common sense. It is an illusion that leads to self-delusion. There exists an old maxim. The most dangerous man in the room is the man who doesn't know what he doesn't know. At Middle East Radio Forum, we do the best to make certain that our audience will always know. That said, as we sign off, as we always do, we ask you to remember that the only people mad at you for speaking the truth are those living a lie. Keep speaking it. This is Mayor Jolovitz wishing you well. To our Jewish listeners, a happy, a meaningful Passover, where freedom once meant something. We've got to free ourselves of the oppression of the so-called friends who think they're saving us despite our best interest. Keep speaking the truth. Mayor Jolovitz signing off. Until next time. You're right.